Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
So, like, why don't you trust nobody?
The fuck is we doing here, ladies and gentlemen?
She's Soprano.
These guys aren't just like the Sopranos.
You're a fucking genius, Fausto.
These
are the real Sopranos. Yeah, all eyes on me. If I'm against all eyes, in front of that patch of deceit, I still check.
So, like, why don't you trust nobody?
These guys aren't just like the Sopranos.
You're a fucking genius, Fausto.
Yeah, all eyes on me. If I'm against all eyes, in front of that patch of deceit, I still check both sides. I pop up running, feel like Biggie, only if he was alive. Cause my life before death, feel like I was ready to die. All eyes on me. If I'm against all eyes, in front of that patch of deceit, I still check both sides. I pump up blood and feel like Biggie only if he was alive. Cause my life before death feel like I was ready to die. So are you dying to live? Or are you living to die? I'm only human, I show emotions, but know I walk with the gods. And know I'm dying to get even once we ever had eyes. See, my city was like Yonkers, so much violence, like why? I had a bitch bad as Jada that I never kissed.
Never
know I'm known to send two shooters in case one shooter ever missed.
Well, right.
More or less, after death, we can never fix.
Yeah.
So load them up and put all the toys in the bag as if it's sick.
I know niggas who had bricks that feds watch like Lackawanna 6.
The more money you make, the more hate that you ought to get.
True.
Most of my cousin's blood,
but
my uncle's crit. You ever served a close homie
because
he needed to fix?
Yeah.
And the more you try to starve him in the hopes he get better, it's just the worse he get. But he know it's not appropriate.
Don't fuck showing emotions.
I'd rather just keep on me and all my homies' flaws. Oh, that was my only secret. All eyes on me. If I'm against all eyes, in front of that patch of deceit, I still check both sides. I pop up running, feel like Biggie only if he was alive. Cause my life before death feel like I was ready to die. All eyes on me. If I'm against all eyes, from that passenger seat, I still check both sides. I pump a blunt and feel like Biggie only if he was alive. Cause my life was full death, for like I was ready to die.
And they wasn't thinking at all.
I was thinking that Jesus, he gotta be a reason. So if I said it, then you know I mean it. Me and my bitch used to hustle out the park. Like I was Terrence and she was Roxy. No OPs, real panties and real rocks. And some teens that I seen, I wish I'd never saw. They all know I pour streams like I'm trying to vlog.
I
put your brains in your lap. Now that's a laptop. Treat the studio just like a crack spot. And I go hard just like a hard knock. Your bitch good with kids, but that's a head start. You in the kitchen whipping, trying to eat, but miss the bread part. They see bread I don't have a net worth, so they wonder what my net worth.
Everything's fine like wine. I want none of yours, but I need all of mine.
I had to switch my lines, cause niggas call me at least 50 times. I know you lying, cause rollies never tick when it's presenting time. And that's his present time. I want everything like a kid who screams, it's not yours, it's mine. And I'm quite sure I'll be fine. All eyes on me. If I'm against our lies, in front of that patch of the seat, I still check both sides. I pop up one and feel like Biggie only if he was alive. Cause my life before death, feel like I was ready to die. All eyes on me. If I'm against our lies, from that passenger seat, I still check both sides. I pop up blood and feel like Biggie only if he was alive. Cause my life before death, feel like I was ready to die.
We are now at episode 559 of Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin. This show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment. Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Core Financial, Da Vinci Clothing. Got my host, T-Max, with the facts on deck. What's good?
What it do, y'all? Another Super Tuesday, like ESPN used to say. It is us on that OTC Fresh frequency, Off the Cuff Radio. Shout out to our co-host, Spiro, Sandman, and Lady Chinchilla, of course. Shout out to Dirty Basement Radio and DJ Sincere up in New York. And tonight's show is definitely a special one, as always. It's a big BSF night, no doubt. And the representative that we have on our show tonight has definitely paid his dues, staying true to the brand, coming out of Buffalo, being with the big boys. Of course, shout out to Benny, Tony De Niro, the whole squad. Definitely has a flow that's fire than Inferno's. And anybody want to test him, he put him to rest like Requiem, always wrecking them. And of course, shout out to Big Dicky, you know, for helping us make this happen as well. Without further ado, we do what we do. Let's welcome Street Soprano. What's going on, man?
What it is, man, is Mr. Will I Write. You hear me? Can you hear me through the phone, man?
We can hear you, man.
All right, I just want to make sure we loud and clear. You know, this interview right here is important for me, you know?
Man, look.
Appreciate you.
Man, look, Streets, we are so happy. You know, look, it's important to you, and it's imperative to us, man. We thank you so much for entrusting us, for giving us your time on our platform to be able to tell your story, man. There's a lot to get to in terms of what you've accomplished, you know, what you've been through, the inspirations, the trial and tribulations, your whole story, you know, how you made it in full, man. I mean, thank God you made it indeed.
Yeah, thank God. You know, and I know that is bigger than me, meaning that my path and my journey is driven from God, you know what I'm saying? So it's definitely thanks to the man above.
Absolutely. I mean, we get to it like we do right about this time. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself. We got a couple hours, you know, let's go like green lights, you know, and let's get it.
You know, I'm Street Soprano, man, you know, Mr. Will I Write. You know, I like to call myself But, you know, I come from the east side of Buffalo. You know, it's a neighborhood we know as Uptown. You know, I was born in Toledo, Ohio. I never take my my birth roots from me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come from an area where it's stay to your own, get your own, meaning like mind your business. You know, it, you know, just young, you can get into anything, you know. So I thank God to make it out of that. Losing friends, knowing of friends who lost family members from young to growing older. You know, I come from a background of music. I've been doing music since I was 6. You know, I was raised by a single mother. That's first and foremost. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, me and my brother, man, it was just really us. You know what I'm saying? It was just really us, man. You know, my mom had to do what she had to do, working 2 jobs, going back to school and everything like that. You know, I come from trials and tribulations, like you say, you know what I'm saying? That's not just like bad, you know, but what regular people, you know, and just go through, you know. There's so many single mothers out there. There's so many, you know. That's why my son's 15, and I just make sure I don't go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Me and his mom ain't been together for 8 years. But that's my little man. You know what I'm saying? I won't go nowhere since he was born till I'm gone. You know what I mean? So it's just how I was raised. You know what I mean? So that's where Street Soprano comes from.
Absolutely. And when you think about it in terms of coming from the east side of Buffalo, you know, of course, Buffalo, New York, you know, and it is, and, you know, for the uninitiated, you know, may know them, you know, may know y'all as, you know, being in Denver Buffalo Wings and, of course, the Bills. But, of course, a lot of people don't know. If I got my information right, I believe Stevie J is from Buffalo as well. Of course, the late, great Greg James, you know, he's from Buffalo. And, of course, shout out to Donald Fly Williams, you know, he's from Buffalo, you know. And, of course, we got to shout out places like Janice Moselle, Schiller Park, Broadway Fillmore, MLK Park, you know, Emerson, Grider, you know, North Street. I mean, you know, it's so much in terms of the rich history, but it's also known, you know, as being, like you said, streets a real get down type of place where you got to get it by any means.
Right.
When you look at it growing up and, you know, of course, you know, like you said, you know, your mom's holding it down and whatnot. When you talk about the music, who were some of the people that inspired you in terms of really wanting to rap?
You know, I came to the understanding and realization that I am a rest in peace, a huge, you know, inside DMX fan, you know what I mean? As far as like, you know, I don't have a lot of, merch or memorabilia or posters or anything like that. But, you know, as I'm tapping into my music, you know, sounds that I hear and, you know, the way I can hear to do my voice or craft it, I hear DMX, you know what I'm saying? Even if the people might not hear it through it, I hear it, you know, knowing that I like it and I embrace it, even to where it's at least, you know, 3-4 records probably to date that I've kind of like, you know, redid of his, you know, not the same beats and none, but the same style, you know. You know, so definitely DMX, definitely DMX. We have to go the Lox. We have to go like State Property. Because this is my young,
absolutely.
This is where it got me into it. You know what I'm saying? Like Eve, even Drag On. You know,
that
Cash Money, definitely at that time. Just to name
it. Yeah, because the Rough Riders were gritty. Because the Rough Riders were able to grit. And on top of that, they brought the, not only the grit, but they also brought the grit back into the industry, too, because everybody was flashy and wearing silver suits and wearing all types of weird stuff. They brought it back to the mud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and I was a youngin', you know, you know, growing up, my uncle was actually, you know, big Tupac and DMX fans, you know, so maybe that can be where it comes from. You know, I know every DMX album, you know, even if I don't know word for word, I know every album. You know, so definitely, I say even my uncle probably got a helping hand in that influence right there. Because I used to look up to my uncle, still do, but we used to look up to my uncle, so it's like, you know, what he do, we want to do, you know?
Absolutely. When you think about his street in terms of DMX, and it's been, you know, 2 years since he's been gone, but his legacy still resonates for what his contributions were. He was so many things. Rapper, poet, spiritual, tortured, sincere, addict, but all real all the time. And I think that's what people really, really, really gravitated towards him with, because he was somebody that at all levels, especially from the hood, we could all relate to it, because we all have somebody in our family or somebody that we know that is like him.
Right.
When you look
right.
at the styles, when you look at the delivery, the passion, you know, the ups and downs, how much of that did you identify with him personally as a person outside of the music?
A lot, you know, because on top of that, you know, I'm from Buffalo, you know, Buffalo, New York. You know, if people ain't familiar with this, DMX, it was like a hub for him, you know. He spent time in our county jail, you know. One of his kids' moms, I believe, is from up here, you know. You know, he got a kid up here. So it's like we've seen DMX as a regular, you know, a person, you know. Not, of course, I like the music, but I think I was able to gravitate to it just a little bit more, knowing that I knew the person, you know. Like in jail, you know, in the county, you know, DMX, you know, he couldn't really do things, so he was, you know, he was looking out for everybody. He put money in everybody's accounts to order, you know, giving, and you know what I mean. It wasn't to, you know, being scared. You know, he's in here being DMX. You know, rest in peace. It's just just being able to see a person, you know, in jail, you know, it's sad. I don't wish jail on nobody, but you get to see the real person. You know, you get to see who that person really is, because, you know, you hear by yourself. You know, you hear standing as a man as yourself. And, yeah, that's definitely something that, you know, that grew me to him, you know, definitely. And at a young age, like I'm saying, he's been here in Buffalo, so younger than me going to jail, just seeing him interact with us, you know, not just fully me, but just the people of Buffalo, you know what I'm saying? People that's just like me on where I come from, definitely.
You know, and I think King could tell this story, you know, better than I could, because he actually witnessed it as an anecdotal, because King would tell me about how he would be in North Carolina. You know, this is where my brother's from. And he would talk about how X would be out dirt bike racing and shooting pool with everybody. King, you know, go ahead and, you know, because you've seen him around too. I mean, tell
yeah.
you know, tell everybody
yeah.
about how you, you know what I'm saying, saw him down in North Carolina.
You know, shout out to actually CT Connects, you know, that's out of North Carolina. You know, Raleigh, to be exact, Raleigh, Durham area. You know what I mean? If I'm
yeah,
standing
that's
right,
King's
I'm standing
from.
Direct, right? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Raleigh Durham,
yeah,
that's
know,
where King's from. Yeah, 919, yes sir.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of you know, not just about the love, but I get a lot of love and respect there. You know, because sometimes, you know, it can get hard pushing when you don't feel, you know, not just about the love, but the music actually generating with people.
Right.
And I see it and I feel it, you know. It's just like I can go to places like Raleigh, I can go to places like Syracuse, I can go to, you know, these places that's out and just fully feel that embrace, you know, to where it's like in our backyards, I can feel it, but it's like I don't feel it, I see it. You know what I mean? It's different, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that explained it.
Yeah, because the biggest thing, Streets, is what your art is. Your art is a reflection of you, and it's an extension of your soul. And the greatest, and it's one of the most greatest gifts that you can give to people because it comes from a very personal place of your creativity. And that is something that, you know, people have a right to be passionate about their shit. You know, that's just what it is.
Right.
As you look back at that era of Rough Riders, you know, as you said, Cash Money and all that, you know, because that was a I sigh with reminiscence because I tell everybody, especially the youngins out there, you just had to be there. It's just unexplainable.
Right.
You just had to be there. You know, what was it like just watching that, because from when DMX dropped, you know, of course, Get At Me Dog in 98, you know, we did not know that this was going to usher in a whole new era of, you know, street hop from New York. I mean, everybody knows about the situation with the Lox and Puffy at the time and the Free the Lox campaign, and of course, they would end up on Rough Riders 2 Interscope. You know, Eve would come a little later. Well, sooner rather than later. She would come soon after.
Right.
And it really brought back a renaissance to the Big East of that hardcore New York style, especially when they dropped, you know, the Ride or Die compilation, which was just insanity. I mean,
right.
Nigga, I just
right.
remember the dirt. Nigga, I mean, I remember seeing the Rough Riders bike clubs, and we didn't even know that they had bike clubs like that. And it was like, I mean, it was just a beautiful time in terms of the music. And it also showed how pretty much, you know, of course, Cash Money, you know, 98, of course, that's, you know, 98, 99. You know, we saw what it was turning into in terms of these labels that where Cash Money was more of a local phenomenon in New Orleans, they were really beginning to go national. Of course, them and Rough Riders ended up doing a tour together. You saw Rough Riders really beginning. You saw Rough Riders really become a phenomenon. Obviously, they weren't the only independent labels to make, you know, to go big. But it also a seed that would come in terms of like what Griselda, you know, drum work, and of course where your home is, BSF, Black Soprano Family. You all
yeah,
follow
big,
that
big, 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 big BSF. You hear me?
Yes. I mean, when you think back in that era of you were growing up and just absorbing all of that, what was it like for you really getting, you know, your time in terms of really writing, knowing this is what you wanted to do, and then really beginning, because we're still looking at the very nascentness of your art, from when you're really beginning to write and really begin to structure your bars, how you're really beginning to do all the technical shit that rappers do to become great.
Right.
What was it like in terms of that trial and error for you, in terms of just learning the craft and honing it, getting your pen sharp like swords and ready to cut up on the compositions?
You know, honestly, you know, I love music so much that, like, I love, like, that challenge, because that is a challenge, right? But I love music so much that I take it head on, you know, I take it head on and, you know, I've went through that, you know, drastically because of my sound, and I get better every song. You know, I get better every song. So with that being said, I've recorded maybe 100 or even say 50 records this year. You know,
wow.
So I'm saying I get better every song, so that means I go through it a lot. You know, but, you know, where I got it now, you know, here at the space that we got, you know what I'm saying, real quality music and films, recording studios, I'm in a comfort zone. You know what I'm saying? I'm here in a comfort zone. It's not like where I was. I'm here in a comfort zone building with people in the gender. And it's able to let me just flow. Like, I got music right now, you know, that I'm ready to come out with. You know what I mean? That I know is I know it's a big one in here, you know. But, you know, I just believed in myself through those changes. You know what I'm saying? I didn't try to do anything of what I heard. You know what I mean? Like, right now I am not in tune to anything that's really going on musically-wise inside hip-hop. You know, not purposely or anything like that. It's just I'm so in tune of what Street Soprano and what TMB is doing, what Emily is doing, what Wesso is doing, what Heckler is doing, what Ivan is doing. I'm not really, like, that's, you know, that's enough people right there, you know, on top of the staff. So it's like I'm already worrying about, you know, a lot of people's music, a lot of people's, you know, well-beings, you know. So it's like I don't even have the time really to worry or tap into what other people was releasing.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, for the aforementioned, you know, Vicky, you know, Heckler, Ivan, TMB, that's for Trust Nobody, you know, Records,
yes.
You know, Entertainment. That's, of course, Ivan Heckler, who you had collaborations with, and Vicky, your manager. So obviously, you know, you have this collective of like-minded individuals who have this singular goal in terms of everybody succeeding. And what you said, Streets, we really feel from a perspective of, you know, not necessarily listening to everybody else. And that's a common innate with a lot of artists because there are people that inspire you to rhyme, but then when you're really trying to do your own shit, you really don't want distractions. And, you know, when you listen to too many other artists, you can find too much of what they're doing getting involved with what you're doing. And it can kind of sidetrack the subject matter of which you're writing, you know what I'm saying, in terms of what you want to predicate your principles of originality on. When you think, growing up and obviously, you know, coming in, of course, Westside, you know, Tony, Benny, you know, Conway, Keisha Plume, of course, you know, Tiana Denise, you know, Amani Caesar, you know, all of them, you know, representing Buffalo. How did you, before, you know, you actually got on BSL, because we want to get as much of your story as we can to tell the whole story. How was it growing up in terms of how did you end up meeting all of them along the way in terms of where that friendship would start and how it stands strong today?
You know, that friendship actually started to grow strong. I say in about 2015. About 2015 is, you know, just growing strong with Benny. You know, a relationship with the Butch inside, you know, at this time just being on the street level.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing music already. So, like, when me and my team stopped doing music, I understood that I needed, you know, a little machine behind me. So when I even asked my old team how they would feel, you know what I mean? And we broke up, you know what I mean? I ain't doing music with y'all no more, you know what I mean? And Street Soprano still so loyal because this is my family. But I still got their opinion and their approval before I even reached out to let Benny know that I wanted to be BSF. And by reaching out, I mean by, you know, pulling up on them, you know what I'm saying, letting them know, you know what I mean? Because this is our relationship at the time. So, you know, when I said it to him, you know, he just gravitated to it and took to it. You know, no resistance or anything like that, knowing, like, you know, even if he didn't know everything about streets, he knew enough to where, you know, he knows streets ain't, name ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? You know, streets name ain't out here to be no crazy, get him up, stick him up. You know what I mean? But his name ain't, in the mud, drove through the mud out here. You know, so just, really being me, you know, got me that, solidification, if I'm saying the word right there, you know.
Absolutely.
So my relationship here with, you know, BSF, that's how it started. You know, it started with the Butch, you know, and that's why it's still strong to this day, because I never really let nothing get in my mind or anything. I just make sure I understand that me and the Butch relationship and me and the Butch is good. You know, we have mutual cousins. You know, so this is everything that strengthens the relationship, with me understanding that I gotta work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta work. You know, the big bro is doing everything in his power to make it to where I'm getting, you know, I can get booked on interviews or whatever using a BSF name. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I'm here to carry it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to just eat off of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to bring to. You know what I mean? To bring to it, you know? So that's why you see the Street Soprano and the Mr. Will I Write, how you see it in effect, you know?
Man, of course, you know, we would be remiss to not shout out, you know, Raw City Boy. You know, we had him on a couple of years
ago. Yeah, City Boy. Shout out City Boy. You know, big BSF, you know what I mean? It really don't get much bigger, you know, if you know, you know. You know, I get a lot of my tactics as far as, like, the business-wise, you know, with merch and a lot of just how to be on things and be on top of things and understand that it's okay to be a boss. You know what I'm saying? If there is no boss, then this ship is going to fail. You know, so it don't go off, you know, feelings and relationships, you know, and don't pick and choose. You know, these are things that I learned from City Boy, you know, without him teaching me, but from me learning hands-on, you know, watching him, you know, yeah, so. Them guys are amazing, man. You know, the big bros are really amazing at what they do. It just opened my eyes and eyes around us and around them that you can do it if you push your mind to it. And we know everybody can't be Benny the Butcher. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, you know, everybody can put their minds to something that they want to do and achieve it enough. You know what I mean? If you put in your mind state to be a, you know, the president, I mean, then you got a long way to go. You know what I'm saying? But if you put your mind state on something that you know is what's reachable or you believe is reachable, you can attain it, even if it is the president. You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't far-fetch that one. But, you know.
One thing about it, Streets, is when you dream, you can achieve. But it takes a vision, and you have to keep focused and see it clearly.
Right.
And of course, one thing about, you know, all the guys, of course, City Boy, you know, Benny, Tony, everybody. Like I said, I met them when they were here the second night of Benny's World Tour, out here in Virginia. Amazing businessmen and artists, greater people and character. I cannot say enough good things about those guys. Tremendous, tremendous individuals with a heart of gold and so sincere. You know, I've been a fan prior, but to actually meet all those guys was unbelievable. It was a true pleasure. If any of them are listening, you know, Thomas from Virginia, love you guys. Thank you so much for the hospitality, courtesy, and warmth that you showed me at that show. Fuego Base, everybody. And you know, it's funny, you know, it's wild, man. It's funny because when, you know, you say you met Benny back in 2015, you know, Benny was 3 years out of his sentence in 2012 when he got out. So, you know, he was, you know, still, you know, trying to find his way through everything in terms of really navigating it. And that's the side people don't see in terms of where artists, you know, we all see the glamour, the glitz, the diamonds and the bling and all the shiny things, but everybody doesn't always understand what the everyday struggles are and what the day-to-day activities entail in terms of that everyday hustle to make it. In terms of the business aspects of the streets, what have you found in terms of how this industry really works in terms of networking, in terms of putting together everything? Obviously, you have your own label. Tell us about how you came up with that and how you found your artists, about how you found your management. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, coming into, you know, because I always loved music, so I've always been on the artist street. I just studied this so much that I knew to, you know, when I eventually was to be in it, you know, was to always dive in the business part of it, you know, the business aspect of it, because it's more business than music. You know, so once I understood that, I never really had a problem with being the boss or being the CEO, because I knew that I would go and do what's needed to be done for the team. I'm not just taking a position just to take it, you know. So with Trust Nobody Music Group, you know, it's something that I started, you know, by myself. I didn't have the second, you know, person. Like, we built it up together. Like, the, you know, the stories. It was actually a feeling, you know, that I was going through with just really not having nobody. But I had people, you know what I'm saying? Just me in my zone, and my understanding that, like, you can't trust nobody, you know? So I just came to acceptance with it this way. You know, I won't want to hurt nobody. I won't want to do nothing to nobody. I won't want to, you know, unless they physically harming me, you know, or physically harming my, you know, my family, or a way for us to eat. But everything else, I can just breathe about it, because I didn't trust them in the first place. I understood that, it's in their human nature to act this way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost as if they're not at fault. Like, that sin is real when you say, God forgive them for what they don't know. You know what I mean? So if I'm God's child, I got to believe in that. You know, so just try to stay away from it as much as possible. So Trust Nobody Music Group is the definition of that. You know, I definitely say 2016 is when I came up with the actual name. You know, 2017 and 2020 being upstate, I just crafted it all. You know, as far as the tag, it's everything I heard in my head, and I came home and brought it to life. You know, I came home and brought it to life by myself. You know, I'm, you know, at a point in time when it started, I was the only person wearing a TMB logo. You know, so it takes dedication and it takes hard work. You know, I've been at it every day for 3 years. And not only believe in it, but feel it, you know, because it is real. I don't sell dreams. You know, if you believe it, you know what I'm saying, and you can feel it and you can get with it, and we ride, then we got it. It's Trust Nobody Music Group. Outside, we don't trust nobody. Inside is all about trust. We burn them up here. You know what I mean? It's you know, it's, this is who's obligated to trust. You know what I mean? Like, I put my guards down here. You know, this, I put, you know, this is my love. This is home here. This is, you know, so that's how I treat TMB. My family, a side of my blood family. You know, but this is my family that I feel like I can actually trust on a day-to-day basis. It's blood family members that I know that I can't trust on a day-to-day basis. You understand me?
Right, right.
So this is how it's crafted, and this is what Trust Nobody Music Group is. I'm hoping I'm answering the questions right, you know, because I want to give, I mean, I know I'm answering them right, but just hitting them on, because I want to give the people, you know, something that they can actually use, because I'm going through it through this time, and I know that I'm there, you know, and I know that it's working, but, it, you know, it's something that I can say that I can really help somebody pass that next step.
one thing about the streets is, number one, you're doing great. We're loving this time we got with you. and number two, the lessons of the experience are the education for the novices. That is how we grow. That is how we evolve. That is how we become great, being the scholars of what we study, because we study others. You learn from the mistakes that are made, and that's what makes you wise in your own experience going forward. And it's important in this industry. It's important what you said about how you develop a team. I speak on this all the time about how King, Sandman, Chinchilla, how they entrusted me to come aboard on Off the Cuff. I used to be a call-in, all the time, and they thought so much of me, God bless all of them, that they decided to bring me in. Here I am. Right. I've been with them 6 years. And King started this back in 2014, from a perspective of his background in journalism and, just being a lifelong hip-hop head, wrestling aficionado, boxing historian, so many different things that are, can't even begin to describe how much that dude knows, being a mad scientist he is. And that's how, he started Off the Cuff. But one thing about it is, when you're starting something, you're always trying to find the people who believe in it and believe in it as much as you do. Right. And will work hard along with you to help become great. One of the things that Puffy said that was always true is that the people who do the work without you asking, the ones who do the hustle when you don't have to, the ones who will work when you don't ask them, those are your people. And the people that really, really want to get in and get their hands dirty to help you out without you even asking them to lift a finger, those are the ones that really are passionate about it as much as you are, and that's where you see who's really with you. I'm just thankful for where we've been able to come through 559 shows, of which you are our guest on, and looking at where we've come, how far we've come.
Come on, man. Listen, I'm celebrating my new album coming out, man. That's a celebration for you. We both celebrating at the same time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell us about your new project and how it came together, and just the whole inspiration behind it.
This Damn Nothing Lasts Forever, man. The inspiration definitely came behind me. I'm big on branding, so I had my series, I got series, my Will All Right series. I'm up to 1.5 on that, so I did, Will All Right 1, Will All Right 1.5. I did You Hear Me. And instead of just ping-ponging with the two, which I didn't feel like I was ready for Young Black King 2, because that's a different level, and I want to really be there when I tap into that. So I don't want to rush that project. So I knew I was coming with something. Damn is another one of my ad-libs that, that's huge, that I use as far as huge in my sound. So it was just, with me, with understanding the brand, and it was just perfect to go to the Damn series. Nothing Lasts Forever. It's just a statement, when I stopped hustling, I actually stopped hustling not having money. You know what I'm saying? I stopped hustling, going broke. You know what I'm saying? Just that title and that statement is Nothing Lasts Forever. Me struggling as hard as I do, having to work as hard as I do, being the only person wearing the TNB logo, you know what I'm saying, won't last forever. Nothing lasts forever, you know what I'm saying? So anything that you enjoy, anything you love, cherish it while you next to it, while you there with it, more, because, nothing lasts forever. Even if y'all love lasts forever, y'all heart, somebody's going to die. Nothing lasts forever, so it's just however you put it, you know, it's a serious statement, you know.
When you look at it, too, I was going to ask him, because this is hitting me right here, and I want to know this from an artist perspective. Is there a difference when you're going in album mode versus going into, like, a mixtape mode when it comes to attacking certain elements of the song?
Definitely. You know, you're gonna even attack it different. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, you know, when me and Fosto and you know, and Tito, when we getting in here, you know, like I'm even, you know, telling Tito, you know, as far as my engineer is, like, we're not keeping too many things to make it sound cluttered, to make it sound like a mixtape. Like, I know how to make something sound like a mixtape and something sound like an album. You know, so if we going into, you know, mixtape mode, we know that we planning on this music not really sticking. You know what I'm saying? We planning on this music just being in effect for however long until it passed. You know, when we go in album mode, we literally trying to make a classic to stay around. You know, we trying to make one that, you know, the years after it is still an anniversary for that, next year, that. So that's where we going in when you're going into that artist, when you're going into that album mode, you know what I mean? It's definitely different from feeling like you're going into mixtape mode. You know, it's, you know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like two tests, you know what I mean? You know, you got this test that you can fail because it don't really mean, you know, it means something, but, you know, you get your shot at the real shot and you're going to take it serious then. It's like the same thing here, you know what I mean? You know, everything in life is really the same. I mean,
yeah, man. And the structure of it, you know, is pretty much where, you know, and you're obviously the artist with this, and you have so much experience crafting it. Because the mixtape, we've always looked at the mixtape game as, you know, listeners, as consumers, it's kind of the introduction to who you are as an artist in terms of the abilities that you have. But by the same token, the album is more of a streamlined project that is cohesive, that really details the theme, the story, the purpose, you know, everything in that. Thinking about everything you've overcome, you know, in terms of, you know, being on the streets hustling, you know, like you said, how you went into it, you know, and just not necessarily, you know, having everything you wanted out of it, but channeling your focus. When you look at so many artists who've been out there and, you know, have been able, who transition, how important is it for an artist when they have decided to make that transition into the business of music, because it is a business and it's a full-time one, how important is it to leave the street life alone from it?
You know, it's very important. You know, it's very important, and I learned that because I've been doing music for a long time. You know, and I've done music when I was young, before I, you know, started hustling. I've done music while I was hustling, you know what I mean? And I've done music now while I'm older and I'm not hustling. And it's just only so much you can do being in the streets. You know, being in the streets, and even if you're not hustling, just those street ties, it, you know, watching over your back, or it's a lot of things, you know, it's so, like, like I'm, like for me where I'm at now with it, I just know, like, it's a fresher breath air, you know what I mean? I don't worry about nothing but attacking the agenda that I set out for today. I don't worry about if we get pulled over, if I got something in my pocket, forgetting if I do or this or that. I don't worry about, you know what I'm saying, having, you know, the pistol on my waist. I'm not worried about us sitting on, you know, at my corner store. You know what I mean? The lifestyle, you can't mix it with the music, you know. And then once you do the music, you know, music opens your mind up. you know, like your mind expands, and it's not just because you make music. No, once you start doing the business side of the music, your mind expands, right? So those same people that you, you know what I mean, that you would be going and chilling and slanging with, or not even hustling, but chilling with back in the hood, they don't have the same mind state. You know what I'm saying? So anything can happen out here because they're quicker to throw something away than you and yours. You know, not because you got something to lose, but their mind is, you know, they don't understand. You know, because Jay-Z can have more money than me right now, but my mind to understand it is the same. You know, to understand that aspect to where, like, that's not what we need to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to have $1 million to understand that. You know, so that was important, and that's important for any artist. You know, you can visit and do what you want. You know, I still pop up and visit, you know, but it's really family. You know, but the same blocks I grew up on, but you got to leave the street alone. If you're doing whatever you're doing, you got to do it 100. You hustling in the street, or if you in the streets, you got to do that. You in the music, 100, you got to be at it 100, or you're never going to know if it would have worked or if it wouldn't have.
Yeah, man. And that's real, man, because we see so many artists. We see so many people in general who were right there in terms of the success that they had, but they couldn't leave the streets alone, or they were just successful. You know, we're not shading this individual when we mention them, because obviously it's all, you know, it's public news, and we are off the cuff. We just report it, but we don't insult people or try to down them. You look at what happened with Tax Stone and Troy Ave. You know, Tax Stone got 35 years for that situation. You know, Tax Stone had a, yeah, you know, and he had a thriving podcast. And, you know, we're not going to talk too much about the situation with him and Troy. I mean, we know they didn't like each other, but I'm like, dude, you know you don't like the nigga, don't go where he is if you know it's going to be on site when you see him.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
Certain things, it's like, it's, how do I say this? We've all been in shit with niggas we don't like. But there's also a situation where you have to know yourself to understand where you're going to take it, and maybe you shouldn't take it there, especially if it involves, you know, your freedom or somebody's life getting took, which is sadly what happened. Rest in peace, Banga. You know, and just other situations we see in the street, you know, where...
Right. Right.
You know, heads get out there, you know, wolfing some shit, you know, and it's like, you may wolf, but guess what? Niggas is going to bark back, and guess what? They got to bite when he bark. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, certain things you don't put out there for people in terms of, you know, where you're trying to go with it, because at the end of the day, we've learned this in the game. It's not only about business, streets, and king, but it's also about human emotions and people's pride. People have feelings. And, you know, number one, if you are concentrating on what you're trying to do as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, as an artist, your last concern should be about trying to disrupt somebody else's spirit and their peace with some foolishness. Because that's blocking your blessing, but it damn sure and it damn sure will bring a curse upon it. You know, you call out certain stuff, it's going to come back, and it may not come back the best way. You know, which is a perfect segue, because we see so many artists streets trying to cook beef, trying to stir up a lot of shit unnecessarily. We've seen some real serious situations break out online because of it, talking about somebody going to pull up or somebody going to do something to somebody. You've been on that side of it. You've lived it. You've seen it. How important is it for artists to know how to not entertain that type of foolishness and the perils that come from the miscalculations of that type of ignorance?
Ask me that one more time so I can make sure I hit it on the money.
Yeah, I was just saying, you've seen a lot of the drama that goes on in the street. You've lived it. You know, you've seen what goes on when shit gets real. And we've seen a lot of artists over the years, instead of trying to kind of keep the issues down with other artists, they intensify it. They amplify it. And then they even do things to the point of asking for that action. How important is it for artists to understand how to not get themselves in those situations where shit really can happen?
You know, it's vital. You know, it's very important because, like, for me, I'm never out here thinking for self. You know, I'm never out here thinking for self. I have, you know, a bunch of people that I got to think for, you know, and that's with the people that's here with me, and that's the people at home, you know, that's being innocent, that's, you know, doing what they supposed to be doing, sleeping or something like that. I bring it on them if something happens to me out here, or if something happens to, you know, my group of people out here, you know. So it's literally, it's important to be able to not even pay it, you know, play into it. If somebody's not hurting me, my family, none of my, you know, T&B is my family, you know what I mean? So me, my family is not stopping us from eating. It's no reason for us to even entertain it. I'm not saying those, is it, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even the reason for us to entertain it, because we got to understand that this is going to come in abundance. You know, when you God's child, when you win it, you know what I'm saying? There's only so much that the devil can do. You know what I'm saying? And we know this, like, you know, from being as a kid, you know, he can't physically do nothing to you himself, you know what I mean? But he can do a lot of things in your path to make you do something to yourself. You know what I mean? So when you know that, you just got to be your own deflector. You know, be your own deflector. And it gets serious, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, today, just for instance, you know what I'm saying? I just talk about it because it's just what it is right now. Just understand, I know the music business is a dirty, you know, place and an evil place. I just know I come pure. You know, shout out to my, you know, head, you know, lead producer, you know what I'm saying, on my production team, Fosto. And, you know, I just commend him on being able to trust his heart, you know what I'm saying, and go with his, you know, his faith and his feeling with being Streets, you know, with Street Soprano and Trust Nobody Music Group. Because the guy that originally, you know, got us together, you know, it just didn't work out. And now it's just on the opportunist level, you know, it's just, you know, trying to I'm glad that I'm real, you know, and what I'm doing is real. I have a legal team. We ready for whatever, you know, because we do everything straight up. But just trying to take a part of ownership of music that he had no part in doing. You know, my engineer, which I just shouted out, my producer, you know, he sat there and all these hours that he's talking about, 200 hours, and me and Fosto did that, you know? Like, so by all means, Fosto, like, by God, he's got to get what he get. But the whole moral of the story is just, like, you have to protect yourself in this business. So I know that I'm, you know, going, I'm thinking for me and my team. You know what I'm saying? I can't just think for self. You know, I'm going through this today. You know what I'm saying? As you know, it's 9:04. You know, Vicky, shout out to Vicky from setting everything up, you know, to get through the interview and do the interview. But this is a problem that Street Soprano is going through now. You know, these opportunists can see that you dropping an album, you know, at night. You know, this next day, you know, it looks big. It's the biggest thing in the city. You know, but five days ago, you downplay the situation. You know, it's just opportunists, and it's just the moral of the story here is to protect yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because I probably would be in a different state right now if I didn't protect myself. I don't know what I would do right now. Somebody, you know, with somebody trying to take ownership of something that's yours, that's your baby that you crafted. You know what I'm saying? Me and Fosto, nobody sat in that basement those 80-100 hours but me and Fosto. You know what I mean? So you know, if I didn't take it as serious, I do, you know, and to have this, you know, backing and everything that I believe in, I would be in the position right now where I'm messed up on feeding for my son. This is how I provide for my son. I mean, this is how I provide for myself. You know, so if I didn't take it that serious to protect myself, I would be in the jam right now. You know what I mean? With this man, you know what I mean? Trying to make claims, you know what I'm saying? Of owning some of my music. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't nobody help me write or anything. You know, so just protect yourself, man. You know, that's the moral of the story in this conversation. But let's keep going.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing about it, too, is that it is always important in terms of when you're trying to do something that you make sure that like-minded people are around you to ensure that everything runs smooth. We've heard some horror stories. You know, we've got a lot of friends in the industry. We've talked to people off air, and they told us some things about how certain things went wrong along the way. Yeah, you know, in terms of when the business wasn't proper. And, you know, one particular situation, King knows what I'm talking about. We won't mention the people involved, but this had to do with a well-known producer who there was a project that they did, had somebody up there, you know, and things got a little ugly. Things were exchanged over IG, and this person ended up calling some goons up. To basically, you know, straighten the situation out. And
right.
Fortunately, nothing bad happened, but there was, but when I talked to the, you know, one of the individuals involved with it, they were like, you know, they were like, yeah, shit got real. Because the people that
came
was not playing. You know, they was not playing.
Oh,
and it could have easily, you know what I'm saying, gone another situation, but they resolved it. But that was also something, too, to be said about, because I think when we look at that particular thing that happened, of what was when the whole thing transpired, if there's an issue, number one, like with them, that should have never even gone public. You know, that should have been something that should have been handled behind closed doors. You know, but unfortunately, they let it get out there, and then it almost escalated into something else where cooler heads prevailed, but it almost didn't happen that way.
Right.
And I think that's an important thing sometimes, because most people we've seen are so intent on trying to make a point publicly. We look at social media, Streets and King, and we see so many individuals trying to, you know, they're letting the shenanigans overshadow the artistry.
And it
sabotages everything that, you know, ideally this is about in terms of letting your product speak for itself. What do people have to understand about getting out there on social media, saying and doing things to where they're looking more foolish than, you know, having real philosophy?
Right.
How do you feel about that in terms of what people? Go ahead, please.
So you saying, you asking me what do I think about the difference?
In terms of how people get out there and they just, you know, act foolish on purpose for the attention.
Me, I'm a Buffalo guy, so here we're gonna say that studio. You know what I'm saying? pre duffel bag hottie, you know what I'm saying? He gonna call you a wee wee head. You know what I'm saying? And that's just to say that I don't agree with it at all. You know, like, I give, you know, the fans, my family, my son, you know, my grandmother, my mom, I give them something, you know, proud to look to, whether if it's from a fan or as a son, as a father, because it's real. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is no, there is no cape of a fake person. You know, I'm like, who I am talking to you right here is who I am going to be when we hang up and it's time to call Vicky. You know what I'm saying? is the same person, you know. So I don't move like that. I don't put it in my team to move like that. So I don't do it for attention. You know, I've never put on jewelry in my videos for attention. You know, I've never went out and fully paid girls to be half, you know, dressed, you know, in a video to cause attention. You know, we've never really done these things because we want to get it how we can organically. We want to get it and let the fans grow with us, and people that's really tapped in with us, they can achieve it and fill it with us as we go. You know, they can be happy with us as we achieve this point and we get here and we achieve that. They can see the growth. You know, if I just act like I'm at the top already, they don't understand no growth level because I've been covering it up. You know, this is me. You know, so yeah, I don't agree with it.
Yeah, and that's something that unfortunately we see too much out there, where everybody's trying to put out a certain image, this, that, and the other. Because if you're really from it, you're really from it. And there's no front end, there's no faking, there's no being a fraud. It's really all found in a place of authenticity and actual facts. You know, we all came up in a time where if you were in the streets, you know, if you was a player, hell, if you was a nerd who was really smart and was doing great at school, you know, that was all based on a real reputation. And now we have a situation now in online, you know, where everybody wants to try to claim that they were the biggest drug dealer, they were the biggest, you know, they're the biggest scammer, you know, they're the biggest, you know, whatever, but there's no history behind it. And then, you know, they have the audacity to question the authenticity of everybody else out there. You know, they're the fraud, but they're going to question everybody else about them being a fraud. You know, it's crazy out there. When you look at everything that you've done in terms of running your business, you know, you as a man, as a father, you know, as an artist, you know, as a representative of your crew, what has it been like in terms of meeting people along the way, doing the press runs, dealing with artists and the level of, you know, just business for features or just meeting people along the way?
You know, it's actually been, it's been a good journey. You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't allow things to get me down to not realize where we're achieving and where we should be celebrating, because those things has been a blessing for me. You know, I've been doing music for a long time. So for me to actually feel those things, I believe I would keep going without it, you know, because I just believe in myself and I love it so much. But feeling those things, man, it helps me. You know what I mean? It helps me want to go even more harder. You know, like, it don't make me feel like I did it. It makes me feel like I need to go that much more harder to live up to the expectations that I'm putting into myself. You know, that I want to be able to stand as a man for my son. You know, none of this is backdoor. You know, like, I'm raising a young man into a man. You know, so regardless of if he know who I am in front of his face or if in the closet, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's who I am, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm who I am, you know, I'm no different way. And all of it plays in with that, you know, so for me to feel it, it's beautiful where I'm at with it now, and I do thank God.
Yeah, man. And, you know, that's always, you know, when we hear you talk, man, we hear the passion, we hear the optimism, we hear the sincerity, and most of all, we hear the gratefulness of what you have. You know, sometimes, you know, what goes on in the industry, some people can get jaded, it can make them upset and even bitter. We hear none of that with you. We hear nothing but positive vibes and somebody who is definitely looking
ahead in terms of the great achievements that are still to come.
Right.
You know, how does it feel, you know, having that type of energy where it's always pragmatic and it's never, you know, negative? You're always thinking about the next greatest thing, staying, you know, optimistic.
Okay. Ask me that question one more time because I'm going to make sure I understood it.
I think he's making a statement.
Yeah, well, also, too, about how does it feel just knowing that you're always, you know, waking up on
positive, the right side of
how you're going to, yeah, positive and always looking forward to the next thing as opposed to, yeah.
It puts me in a state, literally, like I said at the beginning, of peace. You know what I mean? It puts me at a state of peace because I have so much going on that I can't let it alter my mind because it'll mess up so many things. Like, you know, evil, you know, when those feelings come in, man, you know, it's just at the forefront of your mind is all you think about. You know, so anything that's like that, I don't want to do right now. I got too much on the line. You know, just like females, you know, don't understand or believe me when I say I've been single since 2019. You know, I have, you know, females I deal with or friends in the past, and even females I really rock with, you know, but because I know to fully go there, you know, it's not about cheating. It's not about any of that. It's everything that's invested into that. It stops what we're doing here in a way, you know, like I'm on call. If you would have told Vicky, and it made sense that this video was in person, you know what I mean? Vicky would have booked tickets, and we would have been, you know what I mean? So it's like, this is how much on the go we are, you know. So this is important for me, you know. I don't let things alter my mind on bad, you know. Like if it do, man, I just try to get it out quick, man. I just try to get it out, you know. And it's been working for me, like. You know, minutes, you know, minutes after, not days, not weeks, contemplating on wanting to do something, literally minutes. When I walk away, I understand that I got better things going on.
Yeah, and that's something about it that's always tricky, you know. You know, I know what King and myself go through, you know. We just do this over the phone interviewing people, and King, of course, will do occasionally his video interviews. You know, but we know how much work we go into, and we're pretty much kind of stationary most of the time in terms of when we actually sit down and do the show. So we can only imagine what it's like, you know, when you actually got to get out on the move in terms of traveling, you know, how Vicky's taking care of everything, you know, when y'all got a show to go to, you know, it's like the logistics have to be taken care of. You know, it's a lot, you know.
Yeah,
people only see the finished product. Yeah, people only see the finished product. They don't see the ins and outs.
Yeah, and that's why I make sure, because if I'm not on these platforms, you know, letting it be known and shouting out my team, it's almost like you won't know that they're there, you know, because they're doing a lot of things behind the scenes. That's why I make sure I always bring them to the forefront, you know, because I'm Cornelius Robinson, you know what I'm saying? Street Soprano is a bunch of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, Street Soprano was made up of a bunch of people. Street Soprano was made up of Vicky. That's how I'm on here. You know what I'm saying? But a bunch of people make Street Soprano. I make Cornelius Robinson the name that my mama named me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, the name is, you know, your name. That's your legacy. You know, that's your brand. You know, it's who you are as a real person outside of the industry. You know, we see so many people, you know, who sometimes get caught up in their, you know, in the business of their, you know, their pseudonym, but not necessarily their actual. And it's important to where you know, because we've seen tragedies with artists where they got too caught up living the stage life that they got lost in not knowing who they were as a person. And it is important to keep both separate. You're in the same cell, but you got to keep them separate in terms of You know, when you go home and you're a father, you're Cornelius. You know, when you're doing your business, you're street soprano. And people got to understand it's two different things.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I do good with that. You know, I do good with that. That's like me mastering how to learn how to put business and friendship separately. I've definitely learned that from Butch. Shout out to Benny the Butcher on different levels, but I've definitely learned that from him. Without him, you know, just from word of mouth teaching me, but from, you know, seeing how he dealt with me, you know, to understand, I truly understand now from the way of his dealings with me on how to put friendship and business separately. So everything I learned, I give to my team, you know, so, and like my son helps me, you know what I'm saying? Because my son, he just got this little facade, like, he know daddy a rapper. He know daddy this and daddy that, his friends brag and stuff. But it just helps me with him because it ain't no different. I mean, only difference is now is he might ask me for a couple of dollars more than he did before. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, it's still the same regular daddy. You know what I'm saying? He don't act no different. You know what I mean? So it's like that brings me to reality too. But I never wear my cape where it's not needed. You know, I don't even wear my cape with this. Like I said, it's real, you know?
What's the biggest joy that you have being a father?
What's the biggest what?
Joy, the biggest joy you have being a father.
So the other day when I actually, this is the joy that I get from him. The other day is knowing that, you know, I'm doing good, you know, and that's the joy in it. And by that doing good is I had to realize and analyze, you know, because my son was drifting off into a little things, not the streets, but just drifting off. And I went to my mom, you know, and I'm telling on him, you know what I'm saying? Mom, look, guy doing this and doing that. And when she broke it down to me, you know, it just made me understand that the enjoyment that I literally got out of being upset was that I'm doing good. My son is on the path of the mission is to make your kids better than us. You know what I mean? Your kids to be do better than we did. You know, right now, from what me and his mom was able to, you know, install into him, if I didn't make it as a rapper or anything, he's already set, you know, with what he's doing to do better than his dad. You know what I'm saying? Be more productive than his dad. You know, so that's the enjoyment that I got out of it, you know, because I missed 3.5-4 years of his life to prison, you know, a bunch of different things, you know, so the enjoyment most is to know that, you know, I didn't lose my baby boy, you know, so I still have my baby boy, his heart and his love and his mind, you know, to know that that's daddy, you know, that's the enjoyment for real.
And that's huge, man. When you look at the time, you know, that you were down, you know, because we see so many of our young people out here playing with the streets, not really understanding what entails. And you were out there and, you know, you had to, you know, go away for a minute in terms of what happened. But you made it out with, you know, your manhood. You know, you made it out with your integrity. And most important, you made it out with your mind right. Because so many people, you know, they go in and like Tupac said on Trap, you know, brothers come out worse than when they went in. What do young people have to understand about what it means when you get caught up in the street life and, you know, once you get locked up and, you know, what you got to deal with on that side of the legal, the incarceration and just the whole thing of, you know, having, you know, that type of, ass behind you?
I mean, you know, like I say, you know, it's where you see the real in a person. You know, you see the real in a person. And even if it's not mm-hmm. third party, you get to know the real in yourself. You know, like, you know, I was able to not, you know, stress upstate with knowing that my son was taken care of in a good home. You know, so I was able to go through the bed and still have my hair. You know, but it's not a place that I would wish on anybody, but it will teach you things if you didn't have a dad. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Certain things that daddy, you know what I mean? That's why I make sure I do it for my son. But certain things that a man's supposed to teach a young boy coming into a man if he haven't learned, because a lot of us black men don't have our fathers, you'll learn it from prison. You know, like, I knew what respect was. I knew what right and wrong was, you know what I mean? But I understood what it was from prison. Not because somebody put their hands on me, not this, that, you know, but it's morals, it's respect, it's, you know what I'm saying, it's, you know, stated, mind your business, you know, knowing, like, know who to put your trust in, who to put your faith in, you know, not everybody, you know what I mean, you ain't here alone, you know, and learn how to go without, learn patience, learn how to go with three outfits, learn how to go without, you know. I learned all that. That's why I'm here doing this now, dedicated for 3 years nonstop, and I go 20, 30 more if that's what it causes. You know, I learned the patience. You know, I went to the mess hall. I went, you know, same 2-3 state outfits. You know, I've been through that for 3-4 years. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't nothing. You know, this is beautiful.
Yeah, and that's something that you know, you understand the process, but you were able to prosper from it in the aspect of being able to really, really, really understand, you know, just the little things that really, you know, make the difference.
As you go
further in the game, is there, I mean, who out there would you like to work with in terms of, you know, doing, you know, as you continue on this journey?
SZA. I need a song with SZA. You know, I need a song with SZA.
Ooh, yes, yes. Yeah, she's just everything. SZA's just everything, yes.
Yeah.
They say it's for the culture.
And I don't need it to be a hit record or nothing. You know, I need it to be a real record that we gonna motivate. You know, we're going to motivate, not even installing nothing. We're going to preach black excellence. We're going to preach excellence. You know what I'm saying? We're going to preach, excellence, not by installing it in them, but letting them see it, letting them feel it. You know, look what we're doing. You can too. And it's not flaunting it, you know, because I don't got a rollie. You know what I'm saying? I don't got to change, you know, but they can feel that from what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So it's real.
Man, I mean, that was just, I mean, your bars and her coming with a hook on it. We have a guaranteed hit. I mean,
right.
We got to make that happen somehow.
Right. Definitely got to make that happen. We need a budget.
Got to be some conversations involved.
Yeah, you hear me. We need a budget, Benny. Nah, but we working, you know, staying focused, staying active, man. You know, anybody that's been tuned in till now know that I'm probably where you are now. You know, I'm probably in the same place you are now, or I've been there, meaning to say, man, just push through it, man. You're going to lose friends. Family members, close friends, right-hand men, and you still going to love them and everything, but they just don't fit for the journey that you on, you know, because they want you to be something else. And you going to fail whenever you're trying to be something that somebody else wants you to be. You got to come into who you are, like be in tune with who you are, or it'll never work with anything that you're doing.
I mean, originality is there. You know, everybody out there, you know, this is the message. You are one of one, and you don't try to be a duplicate of anybody, who, you know, of anyone. You know, it's all about making sure that you're doing what's best for you, because at the end of the day, you got to live your life for yourself. And that's important, man, because we see so many artists in this game who are trying to do what everybody else does. We love what social media has done, because, hell, social media has done wonders for us. I mean, that's how we're able to do this show. But it's also
absolutely.
but it's also put out there for a lot of artists who are trying to make music. But the problem is, it's like they're doing shit that sounds like everybody else. And I'm like,
damn it,
it's about y'all being original. I'm like, but now everybody gets everybody got the software now. They got a camera phone. They got an iPad. And now everybody thinks that they're a rapper. I'm like, damn it, this takes real skill to do it. I'm like,
yeah, that could mess it up.
Yeah, but everybody wants to get out there and start rapping, and I'm like, y'all don't understand what goes into this in terms of really be getting. Yeah,
that's why Street's still working, and and pushing, because I'm that smart to not let things get to my mind or people. You know, shout out to the Butch, like I said from the beginning, because you know, he's at a point to where he knows, you know what I mean, it's more than rapping. He say it all the time. He don't care about that. He can be the fierest rapper in the world. You know what I mean? It's so much more that it takes to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you do that part? You know what I mean? Because you can almost not know how to rap. You know what I mean? I ain't going to come at no rappers, but it's a lot of people who literally sound like they don't know how to rap. You know what I'm saying? And they're, you know, lit, or they're feeding their families off of this, or, you know what I mean? Because it's the work, you know, I just said from the beginning, it's more business than music, you know? So if it's more business, that means if you push that enough, somebody that's garbage can't get this to pop and get this to be around. You know what I mean? It's the work ethic.
Yeah.
I make sure I work myself every day.
And that's important. We'll never shit on anybody, you know, who's you know, does what they do. You know, it's just we look at it from what's the motivation. And when we see some artists come out there, we know, okay, they're strictly in it for the money. You know, let's just be real. they you know, and some do manage to cake off a little bit from it. But it's also some, you know, who don't always understand that there's one particular one we won't mention, but, you know, he made his money from years ago and still thinks he's relevant. And I'm like, dude, you were never really that great to begin with, you know, but it's like, you know, but then talk about how you're going to outsell these two artists, you know, with their record sales combined. I'm like, these two artists, number one, that you were talking about are way better, you know, than you, and then, you know, but he's talking about how they some hoes because they were going to release the album the same day he did. I'm like, dude, they're way better artists, and they got a real name. You know, yeah. I'm like, you know, I heard
don't nobody drop when I'm dropping.
Yeah, I heard NBA Youngboy track with E-40, and that's when I realized, like, NBA Youngboy was for real with it. And Lil Durk,
that's a fact.
Durk is nice with it.
I mean, I ain't, you know, Damn Nothing Lasts Ever, you know what I mean, Street Soprano, my first EP off Black Soprano Family Records, off Next Records, you know what I'm saying, shout out to them for believing in us, you know what I'm saying, Damn Nothing Lasts, 12 o'clock, man, we got an hour and a half, you know, and we feeding the fans, and we giving the people something to believe in, and we giving the people something to, you know, to cherish, you know what I'm saying? I believe, you know what I'm saying? It's timeless. You know, I didn't chase a hit on Damn Nothing Lasts Forever, you know what I'm saying? I chase timeless music. You know, I got my mom on this album, got my son on this album, I got my godson on this album, you know, you know, I got I got fans on this album, like, you know, every talking is real, you know, so when you hear my mom, that's really my mom. When you hear the fan coming in, you know, shout out to bro from Hartford, Connecticut, you know, he ain't going to know that he really made it until he tap in. And when they really tap in and know that they on my album, you know, even my guy, El Costa Nostra, you know, you started as a fan too, you know, out in Tampa Bay. You know, even his talking, I got on the album. So I got fans on here, you know, my mom. This album is everything. Damn Nothing Lasts Forever, an hour and a half, man, we on them.
Dude, that's dope. So how did you do that in terms of what brought about that idea to, like, you know, get all these different voices? Like, you know, to really, like, enrich the project. Tell us about the process of how you thought of that.
So I definitely, you know, I definitely crafted, you know, the project. And like I say, I'm so in tune that, like, and I never discredit nobody for what work they do or anything like that. So with that being said, I can only take credit for what I know. Certain things that I did and I didn't understand it, but it just happened. I know that that's God to make it line up like that. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only certain things that I've done. Like I knew, like, you know, I knew I was putting, talking, you know, from my mom. You know, I knew I was putting talking, you know, from the fan, even having my, you know, the kids on the hook, but the whole thing coming together on fully, the masterpiece that it is, that's God, you know, I crafted it as I was going through it to be meaningful. You know, I didn't just, I can make club records. I can make, you know, girl records. I can do all those things, you know. It was to really go in here and make it meaningful. So not only to the people to make it meaningful to me. How do I do that? Get my mom involved. My mom is finally, I'm 30 years old. She's now accepting of my rap life. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was a kid and everything, like, it's cool, but that's a hobby. You know what I mean? Like, do this and do, you know, she's acceptance to know that this is real and to know that her baby boy is serious at what he's doing, you know, and she's acceptance with it. She's probably listening to the interview. You get what I'm saying? So that came a long way for me. Again, that's 30 years ago. I'm 30. You know what I mean? It took me 30 years for me to get that, you know, like, approval from my mom. You know, I hustled since I was 14 years old. My mom never liked it. You know, so, like, this album is meaningful, you know, on different levels to the fans and to me. You know, to have my son, my godson, my niece, you know what I'm saying, my son's sister, to have them on the hook of The Streets Is Coming, which is, like, my remake of a DMX record, you know what I'm saying? It's amazing. You know, it's amazing, man. It's amazing. You know, it's definitely amazing. But I knew to give the fans and just give the music. It's not even about the fans. To give the music what was heartfelt and sentimental to me. You know what I'm saying? And because it's real, anybody that tap in will feel it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's really me.
Man, if your mom is listening, you know, shout out to her. You have a tremendous son. He's special. You know, he's a substantial greatness. Everything you raised him to be in terms of doing right and staying righteous and always being on the right path, you know, with his morals, ethics, integrity, good character, just being a dope human being, you know, you got to be proud of him. And we're proud to have him on with us.
And I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to be here.
Man, you know, one thing about it that we enjoy about doing this show, Streets, is that we've interviewed so many people, you know, 559 shows. Some we've had doubles and triples of repeat guests come on. But one thing is we always really, really enjoy is we get to be a trusted platform for people to tell their stories and really, really connect with them in a way, and for our listeners, our audience to connect. You know, as we talked off air, you know, as I talked with Vicky, you know, this is not a show where we're going to concentrate on the worst elements of what happened. We're not going to interrogate you about shit you did.
Yeah.
And we don't, we want to uplift. We want to have a real dialogue. We want to have a situation where people really see the best parts of the industry in terms of when you persevere, when you work hard, and ultimately how you triumph no matter what may come your way. And about people really just feeling comfortable being themselves. That's the most important thing to us, and that's what we strive for on Off the Cuff Radio. That's the biggest thing for us.
Right. And everything like that, is touch, you know, like itself is heart or heartwarming. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just lets you know about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think more or less, when you look at how there are a lot of podcasts out there and how people will try to get on certain ones that maybe they should think twice about getting on, what is the most important thing that you would give artists advice on in terms of how they do interviews and where they go to give them?
I mean, far as like, you know, far as like where to go to give them, you know, I wouldn't, you know, put it out there to boycott anything. I would just, like me, for instance, I would go to, you know, anyone that wasn't, you know, deteriorating, or like my character, or, you know what I mean, defamation, you know, things like that, you know, as a man. Other than that, I'm so in tune with myself. I don't care if it's Vlad. I don't care who it is. You know, not saying no names, but it's like nobody can trick me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, the police is not, nobody can, you know what I mean? Like, the police can't trick me up because my life is official. My life that I'm living now is peaceful. You know, like, I understand the questioning when you ask me. You know, like, so I understand if, you out of line or if you're not, you know what I'm saying? And I know how to tell you out of line without telling you. I'm gonna answer the question in a way that I know to answer the question to bring it back where I want it to. The ball is always at my court. I'm not here, you know what I'm saying, as a doja. I'm leading a pack, you know what I'm saying? The ball is in my court. I know I'm gonna shoot and score for the team, you know, and I know the team gonna assist, you know, so I'm gonna let nobody trick my mind up. So I wouldn't boycott anywhere. I say go everywhere. Just be in tune with who you are. You know what I'm saying? What you're doing. You got to know what you're doing at 100%. So if this is what you're doing at 100%, then don't let these people be able to do that to you. Like, you know what I mean? You know that's your old life. So you ain't going to go down or want to risk what you're going for new life for anything that comes from the old life. You know, so just knowing that, that's what that is right there. You know, like, you know, I would love for one of those interviews to happen so I could make them know that I'm making them feel stupid in a way, because I'm bringing a question back where I want to. And once I do it 2, 3, 4 times, they'll understand that the power is in my, you know what I mean? Like, you can ask me whatever question, trick me in, like a test used to ask me the same question, but in different, you know, forms. And go ahead. You know what I mean? I learned that at a young age. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? I am ready.
And plus, you don't have to answer the question at all. You can just say no comment. Let's just talk about music.
Yeah, but I feel like and that is acceptable, you know. So for anybody, you know, totally no one would be able to say that. But I feel like for me, I'm giving them too much even the power to win. You know what I'm saying? Because that shut me down to just say, you know, next question. I'm gonna keep the ball in my court. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna answer how I want to bring it to me. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't win trying to get me this. I ain't going to say next question. You know what I mean? I'm going to let you know how much more smarter I am than you. If you're doing this, that means you trying to, you know what I mean? You trying to do, you know what I mean? You're doing this purposely. I'm going to let you know how smarter I am than you. Not by not answering the question, because then you won't know. I'm saying, I'm respectfully, you know what I mean? I'm going to show you, you know what I mean? Because my mom taught me respect. But respectfully, I'm gonna demonstrate it to you. You know, I'm going to run laps around you. You know, like, I'm a rapper. You can get interviewed. I'm going to run laps around you if you play with me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so into it. We ready.
Now, you ain't messing with no dummies. That's the message you got to show them.
Nah.
You got to let them know.
No, not at all. You know, that's one thing my mom didn't raise. You know, I come from a single-parent house, like I said. You know, and my mom used to make us, me and my brother, we had to read, you know, an hour, 2 hours a day. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, you know what I mean? Going after school, do your homework and all that. It's reading time. You know what I'm saying? Like, real reading time. We just, you know, it's different things. But, yeah, my mom, you ain't going to be no dummy. You know, even without knowing book smart, like, I'm so smart and not a dummy that I can understand certain things that's common sense, but not common sense. Like, don't ask me a test about geography and all that. You know what I mean? But if you ask me about something that, like, you didn't have to study to get the answer for, oh, yeah, I'm going to get to it. You know what I mean? But if I'm supposed to study 2 years for that, don't ask me that. You get what I'm saying? That ain't my field. You know, but if you asking me something about, like, you know, regular human, you know, dealings, my mind is open now. I can get with you. You know what I'm saying? Even if I don't fully understand it, I'll listen and I'll get there. Like, I'll understand it. Like, I'll understand it, man. I will understand it.
And that's always important, man. I mean, it's one thing to read, but it's one thing to really be able to comprehend and really, really, like you said, understand it. And that's important, you know. But it also shows in terms of it that you're a student and that you're always willing to educate yourself on things. And I think that's important. You know, we come into a time where people – why not intimate as much with the written word in terms of reading a book and really trying to get information. Everybody wants an expedited internet education, but that's not always the best instruction. You know, when you say, you know, you and your brother always used to read, you know, your mom would always have y'all read, how do you feel like that helped really enhance your writing in terms of really constructing your flows?
It made me understand, like, so, like, it made me really understand on, so, like, you know how a narrator reads out a book, right?
Yes, sir.
So this is what it taught me even at a young age, because when we're reading books, this is how we read it. You know what I mean? You know, like, mm-hmm. So it taught me at a young age how to write, you know, like how to get people in, you know, engaged in depth. Like, okay, you reading what I'm writing, but let me, you know, like, you know, it's like the inception, take you in a dream, you know, you dream it, and then you go inside a dream, and then you go inside a dream. That's how everything with life really is. So when you get to a certain level, you can still go deeper and go up to the next level. You know what I mean? So that's how that is for me.
People underestimate the power of reading, man, especially these days.
Yeah, like you know, the reading, it did a lot, you know. It definitely did a lot, you know, to be able to understand, you know, to be able to understand on your own, you know what I mean, what something means, you know, the way that somebody's saying something, literally from a book, you know, literally from reading. You know, that I didn't understand then, I understand now. I use it in my cadence now. I use everything now. You know, that's why you can listen to a Street Soprano song and it sounds like he in the room with you. It sounds like you in that place with him. You know what I mean? Because everything that I went through, everything I learned in my life.
Absolutely. What were some of your favorite books growing up to read?
Dr. Seuss.
Of course. Hey, nothing Seuss. Wrong with it, because we're always raised on Dr. Seuss. We all raised up on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, literally, to be honest, it wasn't it. I'm pretty sure I remember Dr. Seuss books, but I was so young at that age, with my mom installing a reading, even, like, I couldn't even tell you what the book was.
Man,
you know, like something up that I was, you know, that I would love or something like that. But I know I used to read those. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I used to read those. You know, definitely. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Man, that was essential reading for all of us growing up, man. I mean, look, Dr. Seuss, Sweet Pickles, little Berenstain Bears,
That was all the childhood stuff.
I don't know about the first thing first.
Man, look. when you got to the heavier reading as you got older, Streets, what were some of your favorite books as you got older in terms of your heavier reading?
Some of my favorite books as I got older, man, was let me see. I like real. You know, I like real, so definitely Laws of Power. What's that? The Laws of
Laws of Power. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, definitely on strategy. You know, another book.
Strategies of War. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, that's what get me. You know, that's what get my attention.
Yeah. I'm a heavy reader myself. You know, my mother instilled that in me from the womb, and I've never strayed from it. Always, if somebody asks me, would I rather have a new pair of Jordans or a book, I'm like, I'll take the book because the book lasts longer. You know, and I learned
J's
it from it.
Work. And we all know if the J's is who gazy or not.
Exactly. Yeah,
man. But it's definitely something where, you know, knowledge is power, and you have an abundance of it, which helps you to really maintain control in all situations. When you think about it in terms of when you went into the studio for the first time, what was it like for you in terms of being, you know, being able to actually record and really, like, put all those thoughts you had down in the booth and really, you know, spit the truth?
Man, you know, I think it's the music that I make now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
It's the music I make now since, 2020, since I dropped Young Black King. You know, I've been doing a lot of music before that. But when I listen to even some of my older music, it's all like a lot of that's fabricated, you know, as far as like at a time where I'm talking about, you know, like certain cars or certain, you know, watches or just certain things that, you know, I'm hearing. I'm young, you know, so certain things that I'm hearing in the music, in the rapping, you know, that's why where I got it at to now is my story. You know, it's worth somebody listening to, because, you know, some stories, if it's a mystery, it's a mystery. You just don't know. You don't know. But it's people's stories that you do, like, you just feel like you know when you hear them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, he did that. Like, you just tell the way he putting it together. You know what I mean? Because I lived that life, so I know how it's put together. You know what I mean? And then you'll know if he is, you know. And it's not nothing to do with street or nothing. Just you'll know a person. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing about it is nothing can substitute, you know, for the real thing. And, you know, that's always the most important thing that you want to give your listeners, the authenticity. And that's what they're going to appreciate.
And while we have them on here, too, this one thing I want to ask you. Like, you know, you guys are real sick dependents of the Black Soprano Family clique. How do you guys differentiate in terms of style? Like, what do you bring to the equation that the other guys differ?
You know, I think, you know, what I bring to the table that's just a little different from the other guys, you know, that's different from the bros, it's just a little bit more, which I'm starting to get to, because, like, my actual sound, it's just a little bit more, I say, like, you know, funnish in a way, or like a little bit more, not funnish, you know what I'm saying, as far as in the music, but like Street Soprano up until this point with the bros is like, it's serious music. You know, what Street Soprano give it is, song, I'm able to do, like, lighten up, man. I'm able to lighten up, but you can hear that in the music as if you understand what I'm saying. Like, I'm able, like, so this new music I got, I'm able to tell my same stories, but the way I'm able to record it and you hear it, it's able to be, you know, danced along, sing along, you know, and I'm not even doing that. It's like I'm almost crafted my sound to a point now where I can trick the mind on what they're even hearing through their ears. Like, it's crazy.
Mhm. And it's hard. You know, like, I mean, but one thing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Because I was just
Not just saying, but I said one thing about it is that all of you have your, you know, diversity in your styles, but that's what makes you all come together in terms of really become, you know, maybe being a force. You know, it's like Voltron. Everybody plays their different parts. But United, you know, it's a juggernaut that can't be stopped. And
United is strong.
You know, strength is loyalty, and loyalty is strength. You know, as you said, when you everything that you've said, everything we've had the pleasure of talking about, dude, you've given us so many gems. You know, we're about to close shop on this, but Streets, we appreciate you so much. We thank you so much. You know, when I hit you in the comments saying we need you on the show, you got back, you know, with us right away, and we were able to get this done. We cannot thank you enough for this, man. We really, really appreciate you.
You know, this is what I'm here for. You know, I appreciate y'all having me here. You know what I mean? I appreciate Vicky for working endless nights, you know, countless nights with me, you know, and pushing the envelope on these type of things, you know. And, of course, I'm with it. But it takes, you know, that's why I say my team and everything to make these things happen. This big and it, for me, because it was like therapy for me. You know, like with this interview, I was able to let go of just what I just was going through before this phone call. I'm able to just, you know what I mean, deal with it. How, you know what I mean? I know that, you know, I'm right with God and let the legal team, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be, you know what I'm saying? But know that we try to do everything right in our power until we're overly used or, like, trying to be, you know, picked at anything like that. So it's like, it gave me therapy. I needed this.
You know, whenever you need a therapy, you're welcome to come back anytime. Everybody in the crew, tell Foundation Productions. And, of course, shout out to John, you know, over there, you know, City Boy, Tony, Benny, you know, Rome Streets, you know, of course, you know, Conway, Westside, obviously, you know, everybody in the whole clique, Keisha, Tiana. Man, I mean, y'all just, like, you know, individually.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
You know,
I mean, and then we extended and keep going. You know what I'm saying? You know, we said Ricky. You know what I'm saying Rick Hyde and Heems and Love
Ricky,
Boats
man.
And Fuego Bases. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
Young World. You know what I'm saying?
Heems, we can't
you
forget Heems.
Yeah,
Heems.
Definitely said. You know what I mean? That's. You know I mean, this is the family, and I love everything. You know, but you know, stand for something or you're fought for anything. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not confused to know that I put TMB. I mean. TMB, yeah, on my chest, but BSF on my back. I'm here with it, you know. And I'm a position player, so yeah. Shout out my BSF, you know, the big BSF, the family, man.
Man, look, we appreciate you so much. Tell everybody where they can find you, in the cyber universe, man.
I like to say, man, it's Street Soprano, Mr. Will I Write, and you can find me at your local drugstore. You know what I'm saying? If you go in there and tell them you need a dose of you know, they going to get, no, I'm just playing, man. Street Soprano. Street, yeah, I act too. Okay, but no, so Street Soprano on everything, man. I don't have no 123 or anything. So on Facebook, I'm active. Instagram, I'm active. You know, Twitter is Street Soprano. Everything is Street Soprano. I'm not really on Facebook, and Instagram is where you're going to get me. But more times out of 10, you just need to hit Vicky. And that rhymes. Absolutely. And I wasn't even trying to. You know what I mean?
It's just DNA genius.
Yeah. But I appreciate y'all from having me here, man, King. And, you know, anytime, man, anytime, reach out. You know, it's beautiful.
Definitely. And look, tell everybody in the crew, send them our best. Anybody, you know, who's looking, you know, your crew, you know, we would love to have, you know, Heckler and Ivan on the show if they want to do it.
Definitely Heckler, Ivan, you know, the whole team, you know, the whole team, Wesso working, you know, Wesso G working, Emily Rodriguez is working. You know, she just messaged me like, you know, she's happy for the release. You know, the whole team is working. You know, Ivan got his album that he's getting ready to submit, you know, hosted by Tony De Niro. You know, shout out to Tony Denise and his BSF project. So we, you know, the team is working. You know, Heckler got Better Late Than Never. That's on the way. You know, Blame It On Wesso on the way. You know, I Am Emily Rodriguez on the way, but we working, you know. So, yeah, all of them is ready to hit the phone. You know, like, we pushing, we ready.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, y'all got a BSF boxing thing coming too as well.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's on the 15th, you know what I'm saying? The Butcher's Fest, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you on the other side of America, you should fly in for that. You know what I mean? I won't say if you just in the area, pull up. No, if you on the other side of America and it is the 14th, you need to get here on the 15th. You understand me? Or you out your mind. You know what I mean? And then you make sure you make the listening party on July 16th. You know what I mean? Street Soprano, Damn Nothing Lasts Forever. You understand me? At Joey's place.
Man, look, we're here for all of it. Once again, Street, Vicky, you know, your mom, thank you all so much for this. We have truly enjoyed it. And you keep pushing, keep persevering, keep prospering. And just do what you got to do. You know, Off the Cuff Radio, you need anything from us, you know, you can hit us or Vicky can hit us. We're nothing but a phone call or a DM away.
Since you said that, I'm about to call you as soon as we hang up. You know what I mean? I was thinking I need something. Nah, just playing. I appreciate you, brother.
Definitely. We appreciate you more, man. And once again, you know, thank you again, Street Soprano. You know, Big Vicky. You know, big BSF. Representing that badass Buffalo.
Yeah. The biggest.
You know?
The biggest.
Yes. The biggest.
Damn Nothing Lasts Forever out tonight. You know what I'm saying? We got an hour left, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I mean? Let's get ready. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Appreciate
King.
You, bro.
Absolutely. King, you know, take us out of here.
And on that note, we up out of here. Catch us whenever. Could be next Friday.
Yep.
This Friday.
Yep.
Tomorrow, round the corner.
You know what it is. But you know what? We'll be back one way or another.
We'll be back one way. So y'all stay tuned. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah. Peace, y'all. One.